And right now it is time for us, as we always do on a Tuesday morning, to be joined by our good friend Thorin, who is from, of course, Main Street Magazine. You'll find Main Street Magazine on the web at mainstreetmag.com and also at various locations throughout our tri-state region. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you?
I am absolutely fine. The sun is out. We get daily temperatures around 70 in November. Who can complain?
Absolutely no one. I don't think so, at least.
And the election's over as well. So.
Oh, thank God.
So between those two things, we're 175% better than we were a week ago.
Oh, I'd say so. We just need, you know, and then they even said Pfizer's 90% there with the vaccine. So, you know, things are just looking up this week.
You know, the whole thing about the vaccine that I always try to remind people is that they can have capacity within the first 6 months to make 100 million doses. The United States alone would need to do it properly. Everybody gets vaccinated twice, 600 million doses. And, of course, the company that made it, Pfizer, is in Germany and in cooperation with the United States portion of Pfizer. So we all just have to be patient. This is the first really good news that we've had, though, about that. And then what we have to worry about is getting people to take the damn thing.
Yeah, well, one of my good friends, she and her husband worked at Pfizer many years ago. They've retired now. And I was talking to her this weekend. She and I took a ride together, you know, horseback riding together. And I was like, from a scientific perspective, I was like, what do you know? And it just so happened it was the day before, you know, the news yesterday. And she's like, well, I just, you know, I basically just know what I'm reading in the papers. But she and I basically concluded you can't rush science and you have to let the scientists do what they do. And so, you know, that's kind of where we left in the news came yesterday. And my husband and I were just talking about it last night. And it's like, you know, they're doing their absolute best for the entire world right now. And the only thing we can do is wait and just believe that what they're doing is what, you know, what needs to be done.
And what's interesting about Pfizer is they are the one private company that did not bond with any other country to put this together. It's all private. And I heard their CEO speak yesterday. And they asked him why, and he said simply because when you bond and accept money from other countries, there's always strings attached. We're a pharmaceutical company. We're not a political company, and so we decided to do it without those strings attached. And that was just an unbelievably frank and honest statement because let's put it this way. My brother works in the pharmaceutical industry. He's a big, you know, they take their hits. But this was a shining example of, yes, you put science first. You don't attach things with strings to it, and it appears that they have something that is worthwhile. That's the truly great thing about it.
Hey, we're hopeful.
Yep. Well, you know, it's interesting. I did an interview just about a week and a half ago on the Children's Chorus in Berkshire's.
And yes, I heard it.
Yeah, and you know, I've been familiar with it for many, many years, but it's one of those things, once again, that's been affected by COVID-19, but it's one of those programs, just like Chorus Angelicus in our area, that give children the ability to join a group and do something truly spectacular when it comes to enriching not only their lives, but eventually other people's lives.
Certainly. I didn't know much about them. I only knew little snippets because my daughter is friends with Camilla Nijak's daughter. Yeah. And so I know Camilla Nijak's daughter is in the choir. And so I'd, you know, seen her various posts through the years. And she actually reached out to me and asked if we could help them promote the choir, obviously, because there's, you know, they've taken a very, you know, very big hit this year. And we were delighted to help them out and spread the news about the choir and all that they have done for this region, and not just the Berkshires, but the region for such a long time, and, you know, it's kind of their story. And it was, you know, it kind of warmed your heart to read about it and to, you know, hear what they, you know, what they try to do besides just, you know, sing and teach children how to sing, you know, but there's a lot more to it. And I thought it was a wonderful story. And this is just one of the sad things about COVID, about how it has affected organizations like this that do make a huge difference in children's lives.
Well, it's organizations like the Berkshire Children's Chorus. And like I said, the other ones that when you get young children, when you get young students and they're able to participate in something like this, the experience, A, the socialization, and yes, the ability to perform, but it's also the ability to really take yourself, put yourself into a, as a child, into a position where all of a sudden you're not afraid once you do this to appear in public, to speak in public, to socialize in public. It goes so far beyond the music that these programs are truly unbelievable. And now more than ever, they need our support. Now more than ever.
Yeah. They certainly do, and I hope that we have their website at the end of the article, and I'm sure you spread their information as well when you interviewed them, so I just hope people reach out and do what they can to help them out at this time.
Okay, so let's go from the children to beer. Chatham Brewing. I mean, we have a lot of different brewing companies around here, and by the way, they are all extremely well. They all do fairly well. But we're talking about Chatham Brewing here, and it's just amazing how this has just grown up. And sooner or later, this is going to help farmers in our region as well.
It certainly will. Since this is our art and design issue, obviously our focus was on the design of their labels, which are really unique. I'll just preface that for our listeners. But Chatham Brewing, they have an interesting story. I was actually, when I had my office in Chatham, 10, 15 years ago, I remember when they were starting out in the back alley. And I went back there and saw their operation. And, they had, a couple of flavors, if you will. And they had at the local Pinto Group pub. And then they just spread from there. And since then, most people in that region and beyond know Chatham Brewing and their designs, because with my design background, their designs have certainly grown a lot, and I love their designs. And so I was so excited when Dominique and I came up with this idea of featuring them and just talking about their designs, and in addition to, obviously, the designs matching their flavors.
Well, also, I like what they do. It's like it's like in Canaan. They design their labels. They design the names of their beers, and all local centric, which is what I like. I mean,
yes,
it's got some tie, and you know what? It's entrepreneurship at its finest, and it's I think it's going to be such a boon not only to the restaurant industry eventually themselves, but like I said, to the farmers that are going to be able to grow these crops, and then people, it will be local. It'll be farm to tap.
Well, there are already a couple of places around here that do that, and so I'm just excited for our community for the more that it happens.
All right, next article I want to go on to is by someone I've known for a while, Mary O'Neill, and that is solving problems starts with empathy. And maybe this article should be put out for everybody.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you know Mary. Mary is a wonderful person, very smart, and has great ideas. And so when we came up with the theme of the issue, she came up with this idea. And of course, I said, sure, I don't have a doubt as to her idea. And you are right. It's something that everyone should kind of take a read and just go, let me think on that a little bit. It's a one pager, so it's, fairly quick, and it tackles some larger questions and just, it talks about the human centered design.
Well, this whole issue is filled with so many different things, and yes, we have to get to this, and I know, and that is holiday decor, setting the stage. And you've got some great pictures there, obviously representing as we head in towards Thanksgiving.
So for this one, we decided to take a little bit of a different approach, if you will, and just focus on the design of centerpieces or, for the holiday table. There's certainly artistry in that, and that helps. It's not just the food that you kind of plop down on the table. It's, the table settings, and as you see in the picture, some of the pumpkins or wreaths or pine cones. So we had Charlotte Sheridan of Merwin Farm at Home give us some details about, about some of the things you could do. Or, she does also offer, sorry, my daughter's waking up here, if you hear her yawning. She does offer some classes about, creating tables, centerpieces. And so it's just a kind of a going from Mary's article, which is, a thinker, to something more lighthearted like this. But it's, you know, we're coming up on the holiday season, and so this was a fun little thing for those who want to do a little DIY and set the holiday mood.
And it's and an interesting holiday season is going to be.
Yes.
Lots of changes, lots of things going on. Well, Thorin, we'll check with you next week again and go over once again what's in the this month's issue of Main Street Magazine on, of course, pickup locations all throughout the tri-state region and on the web at mainstreetmag.com. We'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Take care. Thorin Christendaughter of, once again, Main Street Magazine, with Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio.